Well, this morning we're going to start a new sermon series that really, I believe, can change your world if you take this effect into your life. It's called, as you see on the screen, Be the Message. And Pastor Mike and I are going to be sharing in this series like we did in the last one. But we also want to encourage you to take a step further than just to be here on Sunday morning for this 1 hour during the sermon series. We want to encourage you to be part of small groups that will be studying and discussing this over a 5-week period also. Now, the small groups don't get underway until the week after Labor Day, so we still have some room. I saw earlier there's still some openings in some of the small groups, and out at the Connection Center out here, if you want to look at that and see if there's a group that you can get involved with, they're in people's homes, so they're not going to be up here at the church, and be a time of really digging in deeper with others about what's going on and how we can be the message. We want you to just learn more about living out this message of Jesus Christ. Jesus changed the world, but he didn't do it with a religion. And I'm afraid far too many Christians, Christianity is just about religious words, religious sermons, rules, regulations, but Christianity is about a Savior. It's not a religion, it is a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Christianity is not just a bunch of words that we say. It's all about who we are in Christ, what we do in Christ, and how we become the living hands and feet of Jesus to the world that is around us. This morning we're going to look at the passage, the opening part of the Gospel of John, John 1, beginning with verse 1. John writes this, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Then skip down to verse 9. "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen," John meaning him and his fellow disciples, "have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, we use this terminology, the gospel. And in simplest form, gospel just literally means good news. Our scripture that we read proclaims that the good news, this gospel, is actually the Word, as John poetically puts this for us in this powerful way. He says the Word was present from the very beginning. We learn that this Word was with God, and then he takes it a step further and he says, matter of fact, not only was he with God, this Word was God. The Word, he said, made all things. Nothing was made without the Word. He himself is life, and he's true light. And no darkness can overtake this light called the Word. Through the Word, God allows humans, he says, to become the children of God. And then the astonishing thing in verse 14, and maybe because we read it so often, we don't grasp the gravity of it all. He says, the Word who is light, the Word who is life, the Word who is God, became flesh. That means the Word took on human form, a human body. God took on a human body. John, the author of this writing, one of Jesus' closest disciples, said, "We saw him." You want verification? We saw him. We lived with him. And then he said, "And we saw him when he was glorified." The Word who is light, the Word who is life, the Word who is God himself is Jesus. Here's my fear for a lot of Christians. That too many Christians read the Bible just to get to know the Bible better. That's why they read the Bible, just to get to know the Bible better. And that's the wrong approach. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to read the Bible to get to know Jesus better. That's what we read the Bible for. Oh, it's fine to read and study and get to know all sorts of Bible facts. That's okay. That's well and good. But if that's our full intent, if that's our full purpose, we are missing what these scriptures are about to us. We need to study. We need to read the Bible to grow closer to Jesus, because Jesus is the Word. And that's the good news. That's the gospel. When we get to know Jesus better, we get to know the Word better. We get to know the gospel better, the good news better. And then we grow in our relationship with Him. The good news not only walked this earth as we saw as a human, but we also know from Scripture that the good news, Jesus Himself was tempted by sin. Oh, He didn't sin. He didn't fall into sin, but He was tempted in sin just as we are. Jesus understands our temptations because He was tempted. He understands our temptations. Because the good news, though, did not sin in His temptations, the good news then could take our punishment. The good news could take our sin upon Him, the perfect Lamb of God, whose blood flowed for us. The good news could take our punishment up on the cross, die for us by shedding His perfect Lamb of God blood. But the good news rose from the dead. And as Scripture says, He, in a 40-day span, appeared numerous times to people along the way. In one event, He appeared to up to 500 people at one time in the first century. And honestly, none of those that we have recorded anywhere have ever stood up and say it didn't happen. They were witnesses of what took place. And then Jesus ascended to heaven. But see, the good news also is that He didn't just leave us. As Jesus ascended to heaven, as He's getting ready to go to heaven, He says, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live in you, to all of my followers, the Holy Spirit. And if you receive this offer that I'm giving of forgiveness of your sin, and you choose to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and become my follower, I, Jesus Christ, will live in you through the Holy Spirit." Now, if you are paying close attention, you might have had an aha moment. The good news, the gospel, Jesus Christ comes to live in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Every follower of Christ becomes Jesus' hands, Jesus' feet on this earth. And because the gospel now lives in you, you become the message. You must be the message for Christ if you're a follower of Him. And if there's a message, the message needs to be told. And if there's a message, then your life should be proclaiming the message if the message is in you. So how do you find your voice? How do you find your voice to be the message? How do you come alive and understand that you are the message because the message dwells and lives within you? Well, let me give you some thoughts. First, you must listen for the divine whisper. Listen for the divine whisper. The prophet Elijah, he was known for many different spectacular events in the ministry that God gave him during those years. To me, though, the biggest was that day when he called down fire from heaven and God sent fire from heaven to take up a sacrifice. Now, just quick background in case you're not sure which story I'm referring to. It's the time when there was a great competition. It was a battle between the hundreds of prophets of Baal who were part of Queen Jezebel and King Ahab. They loved their prophets of Baal, and this was the religion that they were holding on to. And it was them versus the one prophet of God, Elijah. And it was a great sacrifice going to happen, and the Baal prophets got to go first. And so they put the sacrifice out there, and they were praying and calling out and chanting and dancing before the god Baal to send down fire to consume their sacrifice. And they went all day and nothing happened. Elijah actually started to make fun of them for a while. At one point he said, "Maybe your god's in the bathroom." But nothing happened. And then it was Elijah's turn, and he prays a short prayer unto God, and fire falls, consumes the sacrifice, and then things really went chaotic. Elijah then ordered that the Baal prophets be put to death, hundreds of prophets being put to death. And I imagine after what looks like a spectacular victory in Elijah's eyes, that he thought surely Queen Jezebel and King Ahab would now begin to crumble and see who is really the real God. But instead of them crumbling, they got angrier. And Elijah became a prophet on the run. He headed to the mountains. He needed at this point to hear from God. Things just weren't working out the way that Elijah thought it was going to happen at this point. And he needed to hear from God. He needed to hear, "God, what is going on? What's my next step, God?" Elijah, face it, he went from this great mountaintop experience of this fire coming down from heaven, and now Elijah's in a valley of depression. He's discouraged, and he needs to hear from God. So what happens next? 1 Kings 19, beginning verse 11. It says, "The Lord said to Elijah, that is, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper." Powerful wind comes across the mountain, tears rock out of the mountain, but it wasn't the voice of God. An earthquake shakes the mountain, but it wasn't the voice of God. And then we have this great fire that comes upon the mountain, but it's still not the voice of God. And then there's a gentle whisper, a divine whisper. It was the voice of God. God speaks to us in a gentle, divine whisper. But see, there's a problem quite often with us, really a couple of problems. Sometimes we're like Elijah and we only think God arrives in the big stuff. We're always looking for the big event. We're looking for the big thing to hear from God. The second problem we have is that we're always talking and never listening. We're always talking. Let's face it, even in our prayer life, what do? We're always talking to God, but do we listen to Him? We're always talking at Him usually. Oh, we got wonderful requests. Don't take me wrong on that. But that's what we spend most of our time in prayer doing, is talking, and we can't hear His gentle whisper. We always have noise going. We got to get silent, though, before God. There's got to be a point where you can become silent before Him so you can hear His voice, that gentle whisper. How will you know how to be the message of Jesus if you don't allow God to speak into your life, into your heart through His voice? Because see, we are often like Elijah. I mean, we're right, God is a big God, yes, but we always think he's a big God, so it must be big events when he speaks to us. But just like Elijah, when all the big events have passed, there was God speaking in that gentle, divine whisper to tell him what to do next. We're always looking for God for big things, big revivals, big this in church, whatever, but God is usually found in the small things that take place. We're always wanting to do something big for God, and God says, this is what I want you to do. Take that step of obedience. Take that small step of obedience. I don't ask you to do something big for me. I don't ask you to change the world. God says, I just want you to take that step of obedience and then leave the results to me. I've been reading in my quiet time this week. I've been in Genesis, and in particular near the end where the life of Joseph. And in that, I noticed this theme in Joseph. It never was in there about really what Joseph did. It was what God did for Joseph or with Joseph. Actually, it starts off by saying God was with Joseph. And then it talks about God strengthening Joseph and God guiding Joseph. It's all about what God does. Well, what have you been struggling with lately? Where have you been struggling? What is it that you need, that you know that you should do? And God is saying, take that step. Take that small step of obedience. But then we turn around and we give excuse after excuse and delay after delay. God's not looking for you to perform the miraculous. He wants you to hear his gentle, divine whisper and take that step of obedience. And really, that takes the pressure off. That takes the pressure off. We just take the steps of faith, and then we turn it over to God and say, God, you do the big thing. Let me just take the step of faith. You don't have to do something huge for God. All you have to do is obey those steps of faith and hear his gentle divine whisper. We want to challenge you with something over the next few weeks, calling it the 21 Challenge. You actually have it on the back of your sermon notes page as a reminder. 21 Challenge. Now, I've been ahead of time on this of you, so I've had a chance to try this out, and it's quite eye-opening. We want you to take 21 days, and I understand you might slip up a day or two here, so just keep going, okay, if you can't do it 21 consecutive days. But 21 days, and in those 21 days, take 21 minutes, not even a half hour. 21 minutes and 21 days, and have with you your Bible so that you can read the 21 chapters of the Gospel of John. Each day, a different chapter from the Gospel of John. Read them silently in these 21 minutes. Meditate over them. And let God speak to your heart. You realize meditate really in its basic meaning means to chew the cud. In other words, what you're doing in meditation is chewing something over and over in your mind. And so you read these, the first day, first chapter of John, second day, second chapter of John, and you meditate, you chew on it, you let it go over and over, and you stop and you're quiet and you just listen to God speak to your heart about it. This is not a prayer request time. This is not where you take all your prayer needs unto him. This is to be there at the face of God and listen to him as he gently whispers into your life. See what God wants to whisper to you about being his message. And when we listen to God, we can find our voice. And see, then there's another step to this, though, and that is to start listening to the needs and hurts of others around you. I mean, truly listen. Because see, you'll never know what someone's heart is really about until you finally stop talking and listen instead. Listening and hearing are two different things, okay? Hearing is just hearing the words. Listening is really seeing what's going on in a person's life. So for the next 21 days, once a day, or however long it takes you, 21 minutes to recharge your soul, to nourish your spirit, to start learning how to listen to God, and you'll find your voice and then begin the process of listening to others. Listen to their pain, their hurts. Instead of always talking, Start listening. Maybe it's in the workplace. Maybe it's your family. Really listen. Don't just hear. Listen to what they have to say. And as you truly listen, the divine, gentle divine whisperer will speak into your heart words to say to be the message. Listen with great intent. Second, recognize your sacred shout. This shout is the loud voice speaking into your life when you have struggles in your life, when you have difficulties and pain in your life. This helps you also to be the message. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but shouts to us in our pain. That's so true. God shouts to us in our pain and in our failures. He shouts to us in our mess that we make in life. That's what gets our attention. He shouts into our lives to get our attention, to turn us back around toward Him. God uses them within our lives, these failures and these mess. Reflecting back. Oh, yeah, there's been moments of disappointment for me 10 years ago. Great disappointment. What I thought was an injustice being done on the staff I was serving at that time. But you know what? God used that in my life. Little old 11 years ago, our oldest daughter runs away to Texas. But God used that in our life, in her life. And 29 years ago, I was at a church you wouldn't believe the turmoil in that church. But God was a great teacher in that too. He shouts in our pain. Just as Joseph went through all those difficulties, as he's being put in jail unjustly, and he has all this injustice going on in his life, but God is shouting in his pain. It's our pain that then turns around and shouts to a hurting world about the gospel and how it is alive and real within us. It's why John 1:14 says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God put on this weak, frail human flesh so that we can relate to Him and understand His life message for us clearly. Don't hide from your humanness. Don't hide from your pain. Don't hide from your weaknesses, your failures, your mistakes. Because honestly, God turns our mess into your life message about Him. He takes our mess and He turns it around and turns it into a message about Him. Your problems become His sacred shout of the greatness of God. God takes our biggest obstacles and turns them into the biggest opportunity to be the message, to be the gospel, to be Jesus in people's lives. People want to know how you dealt with your pain. They want to know how you dealt with your problems. You know why? Because they have them too. They want to know how you dealt with that failure because they failed too. You know, one of the, I think, best compliments I've had since I've been here for 2 years now at Calvary is when people say that they appreciate I'm open about failures and problems I've had in the past. People can relate to that. They can't relate to perfect person. And that's the same for you too. If you're putting on an air, a front of perfection, people can't relate to that. They relate to others who have failed, others who have suffered like they have. As a church, we must give people the right to fail. We must give them the right to fail because God shouts loudly in our failures. And if we make no room for failure, we're making no room for people. As I said many times, we're a hospital for the hurting. We're not a museum for the perfect. I fail, you fail. Let's face it, and let's let God shout into our lives when we have failed. And there may be points that we let things like ministries and ideas in the church fail. Because I guarantee you that if we have great grace when something or someone has failed, it makes success so much sweeter in God. God takes our mess and turns it into our life message. Don't run from your humanness, your failures, your pain, your hurt. Because God never wastes them. He takes them and uses them instead. And God wants to be a message to people who are going through the same thing that you've been through. It's your struggle and pain that is your sacred shout that cuts through all the noise and connects you to hurting people so that you can be a life message to them. One more thought. Embrace your holy disturbance. I'm sorry, I got a frog this morning. There we go. You'll find freedom to be the message when you realize what moves you out of your comfort zone into the lives of others. It's embracing your holy disturbance. Sir Francis Drake said this. He said, "Disturb us, O Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dream too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore." Oh, I encourage you to dream big dreams, yes, to dream big dreams with God, but He asks you just to take those small steps going that direction. Don't be afraid to set your sails high and move away from the shore into unknown waters. Because as long as we stay close to the shore, stay close to the known waters, we're not going to see the holy disturbance occur within our lives. God can use you as you are willing to move away from the shoreline for Him. And if you don't, you'll miss God's holy disturbance in your life. Listen to how the Message version paraphrases John 1:14. I love this. It says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." Moved into the neighborhood. Jesus moved into the neighborhood. Because of our technology, our neighborhood is now global. It's gotten bigger as the world has gotten so much smaller. But see, here's the downside. We see things on TV, we see things on the internet, we read things instantaneously. And we find it now really, really easy to become so used to bad things in the world. Hearing about the poor, hearing about the powerless in our world, that we become numb to them. And we feel like we can't do anything. When we hear of billions of people who live on $2 a day, or billions of people that don't have clean water, disease that runs rampant, devastation from natural disasters, we feel like, well, what can we do? We become numb. Well, let me give you two thoughts. One is do something rather than nothing. Do something rather than nothing. Get over the numbness, because it's the numbness that does nothing. Do something rather than nothing. If you're like me, sometimes I need a kick in my pants to get started, no matter how small it is. We can do more than nothing. And to be the message, we must make a difference in someone's life. But let me bring it a little closer to home. Second thought, love someone right in front of you. That may be a child or spouse. Well, spouses can be the spice of life, can't they? But let's face it, sometimes it's the people who are closest to you that are hardest to love at times. It may be a coworker, though. It may be a neighbor. Maybe somebody on your street that you know who needs help. A friend or someone in the other side of the world. I don't know who God places in your life. Someone that you can make a difference. And maybe someone actually in this room today that maybe along the way for a while now you haven't had the best thoughts about. And it's time to go to them and say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." We have something happening on September 23rd, four Sundays from today. And we want you to be part of the message in our community. We've kind of changed the title of what it is, and so you got both of them up there for now. But we've been originally calling it the Community Partnership Fair, but really we'll probably go with the name Activate Your Mission. We've invited organizations that need volunteers in our community. Not all of them are Christian organizations, but the idea is we need to be out there, outside these walls, and maybe it's volunteer in these organizations once a week, once a month, or once a quarter, Start somewhere. Do something, in other words. I'm looking forward to seeing what they are going to present, what they will have. On that Sunday, on the 23rd, we're only going to have one worship hour, and then we're going to have a little quick lunch thing, and then you're going to be able to visit with these different people. To be the message, we've got to get outside the church walls. We got to get outside where the lost are, and so that we can live out being the message. We can be part of their lives, because as long as we have this bunker mentality, this fortress mentality of a church, we will never be the message out there that we need to be. And so that's the reason why we are trying to impress upon you on this day to activate your mission and get outside the walls with other people to be involved with. Let's be a message to the world that honestly is sick of hearing sermons. What they want to see is sermons lived out. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You're God's masterpiece. He has created us in this way as the portrait of Jesus himself. With Christ in your heart, you become the portrait of Jesus. You are to reflect Christ out into the world. You are the gospel because Jesus dwells in you, and we encourage you to be the message. Well, we have some homework assignment here, particularly challenge 21. Start your day, 21 days, 21 minutes, 21 chapters of John, and just spend time listening to the divine whisper. Start looking, where is it you can activate your mission? Where is it that God is leading you? What is it God has for you? Where is it that you can even today go and be a part of someone's life that you haven't been part of for a while? This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, maybe you've never actually come to the Word. You've never come to Jesus Christ. You've never made that decision to follow Him as your Lord and Savior. He willingly died on the cross and took the punishment for your sins so you can have a relationship with the eternal God. And it takes you admitting that sin, admitting sin to Him, that you have sinned, that you are a sinner, asking for forgiveness of that sin, and believing that Jesus is the Son of God. The Word became flesh. He is the Son of God, and that He died for your purpose, and that He is now alive, and He wants a relationship with you. And you believe, and you make the decision to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe that's where you are this morning, and you need to make that commitment to the Word, to Jesus Christ. And one other, I just want to, because it's just something I read this week. It's a challenge of what this author called cosmetic Christians. It's people who have been maybe part of church for years, who put on all the personification of being a Christian, but have never really made that change. They're just cosmetically a Christian. They're not a real Christian. And maybe today you finally say, I'm tired of playing the game, and I want to become that real thing, that real person in Christ. I'll be up here. We can talk more afterwards. If you have special prayer requests, you want to come, and you can come up in front and pray, or pray from where you be standing. Whatever God leads in your heart, be open to His call. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing together. Pray that your will be done during this time, that your Holy Spirit will just move in our hearts and lives. Father, I pray if there's someone here who has never made a commitment to Jesus Christ to follow Him, to turn their lives over to Him, that this will be the day. That, Lord, you will challenge each of us, though, to listen to your divine whisper, to hear what you have to say to us in our hearts and lives, and to be open to your call upon us, that we may turn around and Father, be the message that you have called us to be in the community around us. Lord, thank you for this time of worship. May your will be done as we sing this song together. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand as we sing together.